If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the Most High. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Seize This Unique Opportunity. Join Maitreya and the Masters in Global Upliftment. So, if you're ready, relax and take a deep breath. And call yourself forward and your highest divine components. You are a soul, a divine incarnation, inhabiting but briefly this human personality. And that human personality has a very unique calling in this very lifetime. And so that is what we're going to be speaking about tonight. I wish to carry on a little bit further with the topic I spoke on last week about the many masters that are adventing and externalizing into our physical world and living amongst us today. By 2025, there will be some 40 masters openly living in the outer modern world. Their ashrams and centers of learning will be available to everyone. And we will be able to go into those temples, those ashrams, and those great centers of light and undergo conscious ascension, conscious initiation, conscious transformation under the direct tutelage of these great men and women who are part of the brotherhood and sisterhoods of light. You can listen to last week's show if you didn't catch it already, where I fill in a lot of these gaps, perhaps, in the general understanding. So the first place to start is with heart coherency. And again, if you would place your fingers or your a light touch on your thymus, which is just slightly below your breastbone and just slightly above the breasts, and take a deep breath and breathe into that point where you're touching on your chest. Ready? Deep breath. And if you've made contact with the divine within you, you will sense, as I did just now, heat and chills and a feeling of blissful ecstasy. This is the sacred place where you can enter and have communion, direct holy communion with the divine presence. We're going to do it again, and this time I would like you to gather your thoughts and your senses and carry them with your breath into that sacred place and release them there. Ready? Deep breath. And carry your thoughts, your mind, and your senses into that sacred heart and release them to the Lord who dwells therein. And now just feel a sense of gratitude that you are an awakening soul, that you are an emissary here to love and serve, an emissary of light, an emissary from the throne of God on earth assignment. And just feel that great, great sense of awe and gratitude that out of the some 50 billion disincarnated souls, you had the opportunity of having a physical embodiment. There's only about 7.5 billion of us on the planet. So that's a very small number when you consider 50 billion that are not having that experience, that are in the various subtle planes, that are not in dense physical embodiment. So have a feeling, if you will, of gratitude that you have a body, that you have ears and can listen to what we're sharing, that you have a mind that can actually comprehend what we're sharing, that you have a soul that is the very incarnation of the divine in human flesh. You are a Christed one, one anointed and called to a great endeavor. You are here to join with Sai Baba, the Avatar, with Maitreya, the planetary Christ, with the Masters, in global upliftment. And this is a unique opportunity that you are called to seize and act upon now. I will share a couple of messages from Lord Maitreya now. These came through the Scottish esotericist and painter, who is an emissary of proclaiming the advent of Maitreya, by the name of Benjamin Krem, who lives in London and whom I've been involved with really since 1974, and was present when these great announcements were made throughout the years. I also lived in London the better part of the year 2000 and had the occasion of going to hear him each month and to meet him. So we both have the background of Alice Bailey, Blavatsky, and the Agni Yoga books. And often when Benjamin Krem speaks, at the end of his talk, he's always overshadowed, or overlighted, as I prefer to say, by the Lord Maitreya. And you can see, if you're at all sighted, you can see this tremendous effulgent light filling his body, and you'll see his face begin to shift, and you can see the appearance of Lord Maitreya over his physical appearance. Very often when he speaks, Lord Sai Baba, especially if he's mentioned him, will come in also and give his blessing. So he speaks a lot about Sai Baba and of course, Lord Maitreya, and the masters of wisdom that are accompanying Lord Maitreya. And as I said, by 2025, we should have 40 of these masters living in the outer physical world. I was impressed by what Maitreya had to say about Sai Baba. And I believe it was that statement, more than anything else, that convinced me that he truly is who he says he is. About Sai Baba, Lord Maitreya stated, "I am the planetary Christ, but he, Sai Baba, is the cosmic Christ." And last week I mentioned how the Christ is an office that is held by many, and it is the anchoring point in time, space, and beyond on each of the dimensional planes of what is called the pure divine principle of love wisdom. That is what we call the Christ. The Christ consciousness dwells as a potential within each person as the soul. Now that can lay dormant or it can be quickened, and when it is quickened, that's what is called being born again of the spirit. In the East, it would be called self-realization. It's when you realize that Christ within you is the hope and glory, as it is phrased in the Bible. So you have this opportunity today on the planet to physically and personally participate in this great global transformation that's taking place as we move from the dense physical point of view, which is basically ego and greed driven, to a world that is based on global sharing and cooperative endeavor. And that's what he has come to foster, and that's what we are being called to come forward and to participate in. Because though the masters can come and serve as way showers and mentors and inspirational presences, we have complete free will and must elect ourselves. We're all chosen, but we have to choose back. And you choose back by stepping into the participatory mode, because no one will ever come forward and say, hey, you've got to do this or you've got to do that. They just simply don't do that. They never coerce or, proselytize or in any way try to influence you to follow or believe anything. They're not here to create a new religion or to amass a following. They want co-workers. They want soul-infused individuals who can practically serve in very simple and practical ways in your arena of influence, wherever it is that you live and move and the people that you interact with in your daily life. That's your field. That's your ministry. That's your pulpit. That's your area of responsibility to bring the light and the love and the compassion and the principle of sharing to bear in that particular arena. So Maitreya goes on to say, many are whom I call. Many there are whom I call. Many there are who wait and listen. Few there are indeed who seize the time and act. These few are my people. May you become one of them. So which are you? Have you heard the call? Or are you waiting for the call and listening? Or are you waiting for something or someone to come and tap you on the shoulder? Or have you seized the time at hand and acted to the very best of your knowledge? I mean, these things don't come with bullet lists of what you have to do. You need to sort that out for yourself. You need to look at what you've got in terms of your abilities, your talents, your arena of influence, and use whatever you have at hand to make that place better in some way, to bring in greater light, greater understanding, greater unification, whatever that is. So be very astute, I would say, and in examining where you are in your life and how your life has changed since you awakened spiritually. How is your life different? I'm going to assume that everybody listening to me has some understanding of what I'm talking about. And if you don't, well, I've spoken about this in previous years, but now we're into our ninth year of weekly seminars, so perhaps I need to redo some of those same messages that I gave before to catch everyone up that has recently joined us in these seminars with the information. But also you need to do your own study, your own exploration. So you might want to check out Share International and Google it and put in the word Maitreya, M-A-I-T-R-E-Y-A, and do some research on your own, make your own conclusions. I'm just delivering a message that I feel is very important for all people on the planet to be aware of. So based on your personal experience, what do you know of reality, of the divine loving presence that sustains and upholds all existence? Maitreya has this to say, your experience is your blessing. What have you experienced? You know only what you've experienced do you know for a fact. Others can only understand once they have experienced. That's why when we try to talk to friends and sometimes our family, and they don't understand really what we're talking about. It's like we're living in two different realities, which is accurate. You don't give up on them, but you find words in their own language to communicate. And when you communicate very sincerely from your heart, usually it's well received. If you're not trying to proselytize or convince or force somebody into a belief system, generally they're rather open, unless, of course, they're not. I mean, there are those cases where people are not. But generally speaking, if you speak from your heart honestly and sincerely, and use words that, if you're talking to a Christian, use Christian terms. If you're talking to someone of another faith, do a little research so that you can be congruent with their reality construct and come in and speak to them in a language they can appreciate. And I found no matter who they are, East, West, whatever religion, we can all join on two things. We love God and we want to be of service. We want to make our life count for something bigger than ourselves. And that, no matter where you go, you're going to find agreement. It's only when you get down to the little dogmatic, nitpicky areas that you have argument. And amongst the masters, there are none. Amongst the masters, there are Buddhists, Sikhs, Hindus, Christians, Vedantins. What else do we have there? Oh, gosh, you name it. There's masters in every single thought system in terms of how they have matriculated to the state of God realization. But once you have attained God realization, you go beyond all of the definitions and the little religious boxes of doctrine and dogma. You transcend that. You become a universal person that sees the common chord of truth in every camp of consciousness. And you become a universal person. It's the same thing with your nationality. You become a citizen of planet Earth or a citizen of the universe, and you stop wearing the label of a specific point in time-space or a particular belief system. You expand. Expansion is divinity. Contraction and specialization is ego. So we're constantly expanding our understanding and broadening our consciousness, and that's the divine way. So have you experienced your heart expanding to where it's throbbing with ecstatic love for God, for life, for all mankind? Yes? Well, nothing could be more precious to the Lord or to the masters than that. Your heart is open. You are filled with the divine spirit. You are living as a divine being. And the soul is in the driver's seat of your personal life. So bravo. But if that's not the case, then it's your task to examine your armor. Determine where the chinks in your armor are, in terms of how it's often described, which is to discover your weaknesses. Where do you leak spiritual energy? And then you find a way to clear that and to fill those areas with the divine light and power and joy and peace of your true divine self. That only you can do. Only you can bring change and transformation into your life. You can't expect something from outside to come in and do it for you. How are you going to become a master if you're like that? But on the same token, we come into it with a spirit of humility and teachability, because we all need a master. We all need an upline who will work with us where we're the most stuck, because we generally can't see where we're stuck. The karma is like so much in your face, you can't see through it to what is really going on. That's why you need a good master who can point out where you need to do your work And a good master is usually very strict. And so I'm just saying, you know, we all need that. And so the Lord Maitreya was the master of the Master Jesus, because we all have an upline. And according to the masters, the Lord Maitreya overshadowed Jesus from the time of his 25th year, when according to Sai Baba, he entered what is called oneness with the Father, which happened for Jesus when he was in the Himalayas in meditation. And he overshadowed him at that time, began the overshadowing process, and operated through him, through the crucifixion, through the resurrection, and then attained his own ascension at that time. So it was a joint endeavor, as it always is. We discussed that last week. We never are a sole operative, that is, an only of. We all are overlighted by levels of greater ensoulment, let's say, greater souls that are our spiritual upline are constantly working with and through us as instruments on this physical plane. So, Sai Baba said that ashrams and centers of spiritual learning are going to fill the earth. Maitreya has said that food will fill the earth, and pure, clean water will fill the earth. He's already blessed some 777 different healing centers of water throughout the planet. Three or more of them are known right now, but eventually there will be 777, I think it is, that will be on the planet, so that all the water will be pure and clear. Food will begin to become abundant, will cover the earth with the bounty of spirit. A lot of that has to do with the transformation of human consciousness, because it's our own ill will and tendency to fight and hate one another that causes the very elements of nature to rebel. And that is what causes seasons to become deranged, to where you have too much rain, too much drought, too much this, too much that. It's the imbalance in the human state that causes these things, according to Sai Baba and the Lord Maitreya. So when we begin to be more closely attuned to the divine love that we truly are, the world and the planet itself will be fostered and will begin to produce food and wonderful things, to where now we see bleakness and destruction. But that will not be forever. According to Maitreya, they have come forth, that is to say, he and the masters, because we were in a time of great crises. And the evocative cry of humanity was such that it caused the advent of Sai Baba, and it caused the advent of Maitreya, who, up until about 1974, had not really decided whether he would come into the physical plane or if he would work through a disciple, as he had done in the past with, for example, Jesus, and also at the time of Krishna. And so a person by the name of Jiddu Krishnamurti, very great spiritual philosopher and teacher and initiate of the masters, was being prepared to be the instrument through which Maitreya would work physically. And then at a certain point, he chose not to do that, and Maitreya chose to come into a physical incarnation, which he did, and entered the modern world by airplane in July of 1977, and took up his abode in the Indian-Pakistani section of East London. And as I've said before, I've been there, and I've had a direct experience with him there, which I believe I've shared, and if I hadn't, I'll probably tell the story again, but I want to cover other things tonight. So, usually when he appears, and he did appear out of the blue in 1988 at a Christian gathering with an African woman by the name of Mary Akatsa, who had announced beforehand prophetically that there was going to be a great visitor that would come and be in their midst. And lo and behold, it was the Lord Maitreya. Immediately, everybody in the gathering of some 5,000 people recognized him, and most of them thought he was Jesus, but they all recognized him as the Christ. And he did a lot of healing and working with the people, and then he vanished in thin air. And as I said last week, the masters can come and go at will. They're not locked into any position where they have to keep maintaining that, as we do when we have a dense physical body. So Maitreya has this to say, I belong to everyone. I do not want you to accept or reject me. It is your inner experience that counts. Every individual will find he can make his contribution to society. So this is what is important to know, is that there is definite work to be done. And the work is that primarily we are to share the resources of the planet as a family. We all come from the same divine Father, Mother, God source. We all have the same soul, or so to speak. We all have the same consciousness, which is called the Christ consciousness or the Anointed One, that is the soul, that has the potential of being stirred up, let's say, to where it begins to occupy the totality of the physical life, like, for example, the Master Jesus, who was fully human and fully divine and fully a conscious Son of God. But he also said that as many as are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So he was not a one of, he was the elder brother and the first of to demonstrate that. And again, it was a joint demonstration with Maitreya operating through the Master Jesus. And together they went through initiations into their next levels. And now the Lord Maitreya himself is coming forward to be the world teacher for the next 2,250 years. And so he will be with us throughout the transformations. Many of the masters that are in the outer world today were well known at the time of Jesus. They were his apostles or disciples. You have the Master Moria, who was the Apostle Peter. You have the Master Kutumi, who was John the Beloved. You have also the Master R, Prince Rakotsi, or as you often call him, Saint Germain, and he was the stepfather of Jesus, Joseph. Then you have Prince Serapis Bey, who some of you know as being the master in charge of the Ascension Temple over the Temple of Luxor in Egypt. And he is the one that actually contacted me and got me into the work that I'm doing in terms of the Ascension program back in the 80s sometime. I don't remember the exact year. Then you have the Tibetan Master Dwal Khul. Many of you know him, DK, from the Alice Bailey teachings. Then you have a master called the Master P. I don't know his full name. It's not been disclosed. And you have the master who was Chopin, who are bringing forward revolutionary teachings in the realm of music and the arts. Then you have a master in Tokyo. And what else? Let's see. Those are the ones that I have personally heard of that are on the planet. But as I said, there are some at least 14 or more that are on the planet today. And by 2025, there will be 40, according to Benjamin Krem's master. So where do they live physically? Well, up until the invasion of Tibet, the masters Kutumi and Moria and Dwal Khul lived in Shigatse in the Himalayas. They withdrew to another area to live after the invasion, and I'm not sure where that is now. but the stronghold or the tower or the abode of the Brotherhood is called Shambhala, and it's located in the etheric matter of the Gobi Desert at about 17,500 feet, according to the masters. So it's in the physical plane, but it's in a higher dimension of the physical plane, which, unless you have some reason to be shown, you could drive or ride a horse right by it and not notice it. So like all things having to do with the masters, you are privy to the information when you are ready. And otherwise, it just is not going to show up on your radar. There's also masters, of course, in the Andes, in Peru, and Bolivia, and Chile, which is the seat of the new planetary kundalini as the energy shifts into the Andes from the Himalayas for the new cycle. And a lot of spiritual awakening is taking place there. You have major centers where there's a master in New York City, Tokyo, Geneva, and London. And you have minor centers in Moscow, Rome, and I'm going to add Los Angeles. You also have minor centers in Darjeeling. So we will be probably told a lot more about the centers and the masters that are in those centers. Of course, we know that the master in London is Maitreya. We know that the master in Rome is the Master Jesus. And other than that, we really don't know who is in these areas because it's not been revealed yet. So Sai Baba, Maitreya, and Jesus, and all the spiritual travelers, they all teach basically the same thing. They come with the same message, that our true nature is divine and that all life is interconnected. We all share the same divine origin. And all souls are cells in the omniversal body of the one God in which we live and move and have our being. And we are forever one with God. That's the basic teaching they all teach. The teaching of the Golden Age is not going to be to follow another person, be it Sai Baba or Maitreya or Jesus or anyone, but we are to realize that we are, in fact, God, that we are divine. And that, again, I'm going to give Baba's definition of what it is. Man plus ego, God plus ego is man. Man minus ego is God. So when the ego is crucified, as Jesus portrayed on the cross, when it's crossed out and you die to the flesh, to the petty little personal lower egoic nature, when you die to that, you are born and resurrected as the Christ. And so we're all going through that process, which is initiation. These are levels of initiation that Jesus enacted in his physical and historical life 2,000 years ago. So we're all encouraged to expand beyond personal pettiness and selfishness, to overcome fear and hatred, and to embrace one another as brothers and sisters. And now we're being called and guided toward co-creating a world based on mutual cooperation and sharing, like one global family. And that is the overall bottom line objective of all of the masters and their teachings today. They're in the world. They're men of great practical, offering great practical solutions. They're not calling attention to themselves. But pay attention when you hear or see someone on television that seems to have a very universal and yet a very practical and grounded voice addressing today's situations that are troubling us on the planet. These are going to be people who draw your attention because they're going to have a universal humanitarian platform that is not prejudicial or biased in any way. I understand in 2010, the Lord Maitreya has already spoken on a major network on television in the United States. Since I rarely watch TV and rarely watch news, I did not hear him, unfortunately. And, of course, there's no knowing that he was going to speak. No one knew that. And he didn't come out as Lord Maitreya, the world teacher. He came simply as a man with great wisdom and practical solutions to offer. I understand this will be followed, and maybe has already been, followed by talks in London and in Japan. So those of you in the UK and those of you in Tokyo or London or Japan, I don't know that it was Tokyo, but I assume it was, keep your eyes open, you know. When you feel drawn to turn on the TV or the news or a commentary, you might want to follow that and see if you can catch Maitreya in the act. So the united call is to action, is to sharing our global resources, and thus save ourselves and our planet from destruction. However, Maitreya has said that humanity's response has already been such that it is certain that we will come through this time of crisis. And of course, we know Sai Baba came and assured us the same thing. And he said enough good people called and responded and asked for him to come, that he advented himself. And I would say that's probably the same for Maitreya. Enough good people prayed, and the Lord has come. So the masters are inspiring every global agency that is working to alleviate suffering, poverty, hunger, and despair wherever these are found. And we are being inspired to come forward together, you know, wherever we are, to join with others. And each nation is invited and inspired to become a member of one global family and to collaborate in sharing the global resources. Believe it or not, things are moving in that direction already. Things really are. And the upswing of violence we have on the planet is kind of what comes with the turf, because whenever you have a great increase of light in a dualistic planetary system where there's polarity, you're going to have an equal uprising of evil. In fact, Sai Baba said that evil has to rise to its greatest degree before his full power can manifest. So I don't know whether that's behind us or ahead of us, but just quoting what he had to say. So the masters, being unbound by time and space, can go and come at will and appear and disappear in and out of any situation the moment that it's required. I understand at the signing of our declaration, a couple of the masters had manifested and were present. In fact, I would say whenever there is a great signing of anything that affects the global well-being, there would be a master that would come and precipitate into that situation and have a hand in closing the deal, so to speak, on the you know, for the benefit of all mankind. Many are the stories where a hitchhiker will suddenly get in someone's car, drive with them for a short distance, deliver a brief message, something cryptic like the Lord is coming or the Lord is on earth or something of that nature, and then ask to be let out and walk a few steps and vanish. That was what happened when Maitreya appeared in Nairobi, Kenya. A man offered him a ride. He got in the car, asked to be let out after a little while, and walked two steps and vanished. This was in 1988, July. John Roger also told us two stories of where he picked up a hitchhiker, and the hitchhiker turned out to be the master Satnam, who was in charge of the soul plane. And he told John Roger that he was going to start a movement called MSIA, or the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, told him all about it, and then he asked to be let out of the car and John Roger said he just walked a few steps and utterly vanished. Another time, John Roger, when he was a young man, was sitting in the car, and he was kind of in despair, wondering what he was going to do with his life and all of that, when all of a sudden there was a rap at the window. He rolls the window down, it's Jesus. And Jesus again told John Roger that he was going to have a wonderful role to play in the future and not to be despairing. John Roger was despairing because there just wasn't enough love on the planet. And so Jesus assured him that he was part of his plan to bring greater love in the world. And thus, John Roger has been and done for the last 50-some years. So those are two stories. And, of course, I have my own stories, too, which I probably won't have time to get into in any great degree tonight. But I would like to cover some of this other information just to give you a broad spectrum of what's happening. In the Islamic world, a friend of mine, Pastor Benny Hinn, mentioned that the word on the street in the Middle East is, have you seen that tall man dressed in white? And he appears to people all over the Middle East and tells them very often to follow him. And that's the Lord Maitreya. Or Jesus. Many people call him Jesus, and he doesn't have any problem with that. So usually he's recognized as Jesus when that happens. Now, some of them believe he is what is called in Islam El Midhi, the one that was to come, and they're waiting for him. Also, when he appears, as he has to many, many Christian groups of all various denominations, he is usually recognized as Jesus, and he's the one that's expected to come. So in the Christian world, he's called the Christ. To the Jews, he's called Maitreya. To the Hindus, he's called Krishna. And to the Buddhists, he's called by his actual name, the Lord Buddha Maitreya. So the same individual, you see, he is called by different and expected by different camps of consciousness. And it's all the same one. He's also called the Lord of Shambhala, or Rigchen Nyepo in Tibetan. So many signs are appearing that are announcing the presence of the Lord and his masters on earth. Weeping icons, icons that weep, crystals or pearls or blood or salty tears or scented oil. I told you how I was stroking the picture of Sai Baba. I was holding on my lap this book that had a beautiful picture of Sai Baba. I was in Australia at the time at a home of a Sai Baba devotee. And I was just stroking his face, you know, with affection. And all of a sudden I smelled rose scent, and there was oil dripping out of the picture manifesting through the roses. There was Baba's picture on the front with roses over his head. It was a book on healing. And this rose-scented oil was dripping and coming down from the roses in this picture, dripping all over my hands and my lap and everything. And, of course, I was thrilled, thrilled beyond words to have that experience. My first of that kind, by the way. But, you know, these things can happen at any time. So you have the picture, the statues of the Madonna and Jesus, and usually the Madonna or Jesus that are manifesting, but sometimes in other religious statues in other parts of the world, there will be that too, like Kuan Yin or Kanon, as she's called in Japan. And you know, various other religious statuary will manifest these divine signs. Then you'll have crosses of light here in El Monte, which is close to a suburb of Los Angeles. In the 80s, there suddenly appeared several beautiful crosses that would appear in people's windows, usually in the bathroom. And wherever people had these crosses, there would be a transformation in the people, healing, very often addictive patterns. The gangs in the area all of a sudden started to change. There was an amelioration of the whole neighborhood wherever these crosses of light were. And also patterns of crosses and diamonds, like a equal armed cross in a diamond pattern will be seen on the sides of buildings and homes. In fact, Cloudwalker, one of our Ashtar Command personnel here, had a beautiful cross that manifested on the side of her house. When I was with Commander Allion in 2004, we looked out the window of his apartment and we saw on the adjoining wall his wonderful patterns, which were given by Lord Maitreya. And his little daughter, Bridget, was so excited that every morning the first thing we would do would be run to the window and see if there were the beautiful patterns. And for several of the days that I was visiting with them, we saw the patterns. And then when we went out for a walk, we saw on the sides of several buildings the same patterns. And they were not caused by anything other than the Lord himself, the Lord Maitreya. These are the signs that are happening. And you can see photographs of these all over the Share International website. You can go and see the Star of Maitreya, which looks like a spaceship or an orb that's appearing all over the world, and many other things. Another thing I saw, my granddaughter and I went to have some Indian food in Santa Monica, and we were standing admiring the statue of Ganesha in his window, the window of his restaurant. I'm particularly fond of Ganesha, so I was, you know, admiring it. And the owner of the restaurant came out and said, oh, this is one of the Ganeshas that drank milk during the miracles that happened in 1995. And in 1995, September 21st, I think it was, for 5 days, all of the religious statues, icons, and the Hindu temples throughout the world, including here in Los Angeles, started drinking milk. You know, it started with a Ganesha in New Delhi. And so, they closed down all the stores in India, and everybody went and bought milk and started offering it to Krishna and Ganesha and the different deities, which is part of their natural way to worship God. And the milk would vanish, and of course that was caused by the masters to, again, draw attention to the fact that the Lord is in the planet. So anyway, the Vedic scholars searched the Vedas to see if they could find any evidence of this in the Vedas, and sure enough, they found in one of the Vedic writings that one of the signs that a great Mahatma had come upon Earth would be the day that the deities started drinking milk in the temples. So this happened all over the world, wherever there was a Hindu temple, and it caused a tremendous stir. I mean, everybody, it was even announced on CNN. I mean, everybody had so much wonderment with that. Oddly enough, they don't give much air time to discuss the crop circles, and this is another manifestation of the masters. And why in the world they don't draw more attention, I don't know. We've had crop circles since the 70s, and they're so extraordinary, and now, of course, they're appearing all over the world. The last few ones were in Italy and Germany and Austria, and gosh, I forgot the other places, but they're just coming up all over the world, and they boggle the mind, and I guess that's why they don't touch them, because most people don't like their mind boggled. They like answers, like, well, where did they come from, and who did them, and or they try to say it's a hoax, or some old guys with boards are making them. I mean, you know, or the funniest one was caused by marching hedgehogs. Crop circles caused by marching hedgehogs. I mean, the ego mind will invent all sorts of nonsense to explain away the miraculous. But if you can have the heart of a child and just enjoy this time and not be all cynical and doubtful, call everything a hoax, I mean, there's beauty and miracles happening all over the world, and why should you deprive yourself of the joy and the delight of participating and being part of these wonderful things? I think it's the most thrilling time we've ever had to be incarnated on this planet. Oh my gosh, it's extraordinary. So we have a huge number of people that are aware of Maitreya. It's amazing. The heads of global government all the way up through the Vatican, the Pope, the Curia around the Pope. I don't know about Pope Francis, but Pope John Paul II, two of his Curia, that's the people that are around him closest, were direct disciples of the Master Jesus, who was living in the outskirts of Rome. And they were trying to find a way to tell the Pope. And I think they did. Now, Pope Francis is so extraordinary and such a humanitarian and such a man of common goodwill and compassion that he probably will be the one that will openly declare, because it's his job, it's his dharma. He has to be the one that admits it to, you know, the billion or so people that are Catholics. But according to Benjamin Krem's master, I believe it was, the third secret of Fatima, or maybe it was the visionaries in Medjugorje, the third secret of Fatima was about the Christ coming into the world. And so he did read that letter that was about the third prophecy of Fatima, and it had other things in it too, which I guess caused him to blanch and almost faint when he read it. I forget which pope it was. I think it was John Paul II. But anyway, he did not read it as he was supposed to have in whenever it was that he read it. It was the 60s, I think. I guess that must have been the previous pope. But anyway, this is well known to the global movers and shakers and those who are in positions of leadership and government throughout the world. And I could name names here, and I probably could name a few, because they're out there admitting this. One of them would be Mikhail Gorbachev and his wife, Raisa, who are also students of Agni Yoga and became Christians and are very aware of Maitreya. And then there was Nelson Mandela, who was actually released from prison because Maitreya appeared to him, dictated a letter that he was to be given to the leader there, whatever his name was. And then the Lord Maitreya actually delivered the letter. And as a result, Nelson Mandela was released from prison. We have just, you know, there's a whole group of people that are aware of this information and are cooperating with Maitreya. However, because Maitreya cannot violate free will, he has to be invited, and he has to be invited by significant media personnel so that he has a global platform in which to officially address humanity. And that is called the Day of Declaration. Now, already he has spoken on global media, one of the major stations in the United States, and he will be speaking, I understand, and maybe has already done so in Japan and England, London. But he still has to wait until he's been invited. So although I'm a very small frog in a very large pond, I'm going to officially invite him anytime he wants to take over this radio show and speak. I'm in media. This would be media. So the invitation is to you, Lord Maitreya. Anytime you want to come and speak in this radio show, I offer you that invitation. And I offer the suggestion to any of you who are in media, if there's anyone out there who is in media, who is a journalist, you can go, you can fly to London, you can go to East London, the Pakistani section, where he is well known. Everybody knows him there. He speaks often at the various places, at the Whitechapel Mosque he speaks. He also speaks at the, there's some center there that I saw, I forget the name of it, it's like a public center where he has spoken many times. Go find him and interview him and get it on CNN, get it on, you know, invite him to advent himself, to speak openly. We need him. We need him now, and it's dependent on global media to make the place where he can speak. Okay? So if you're out there, if you're listening, do it. You know, take this, seize this opportunity and act. And, you know, it's a touchy thing because he cannot in any way encroach on the free will of humanity. He must be invited, and invited by the appropriate people who are in a position to present him in a proper way, in a respectful and proper way. So anyway, just saying. I don't have time to tell you my Whitechapel Musk story, but that can wait for another time, as I have a lot more to share on all of this. But why don't you go to London? You know, if I did, you can. I understand now that he's involved or staying in a Hindu temple on in the northern area of London, not in the Brick Lane area or the Whitechapel area where he was before. That's what I understand anyway, because I was not allowed to go there when I was there. I asked each day, can I go to that temple in northern, on the northern route in London? And each time I was told no. I don't know why, but because I'm very outspoken. You know, I don't hold back if I have something to say. I've spoken about my tray at the United Nations in 1997. In fact, it was to a standing room only audience, and they invited me to come back and speak again anytime I wanted to, anytime I was in New York. And I felt like everything I said was all that needed to be said at the time. So I didn't avail myself of another opportunity. But it was very powerful. I spoke about the Masters, the Lord Maitreya, Satya Sai Baba. It was actually, the title was, the, if I can remember, it was the Celestial and Planetary Lords, the Advent of the Celestial and Planetary Lords of Light and the Golden Age, something like that. I spoke about the United Nations and its role as a disciple. I spoke about the Ashtar Command. I sang the prayer of Maitreya. I sang the prayer of Sai Baba. I alternated my talk with spontaneous singing and chanting. And everybody flocked around me afterwards. They all wanted to touch me. They all wanted to ask questions. It was really quite incredible. And that was the time when it was right inside the United Nations. It wasn't on a little side building like it is now, a side chapel. I actually spoke inside the United Nations itself. And of course, you had to have all the security clearance and the vetting and all of that to speak. But it was November 18th, 1997, I think it was. Could have been 98, but I think it was 97. But Benjamin Krem had just been in New York and spoken 2 weeks before I came in, not at the United Nations, but in New York. So it was interesting timing how that came to pass. So anyway, that is what I wanted to share for tonight. I have lots and lots of stories of appearances and things that I've had with Lord Maitreya and Jesus. And, of course, you know, I've spent many, many years with Sai Baba in his physical presence. So I'm just sharing things that are very dear to my heart that have really been a part of my life since the 60s when I first was trained for this mission. So I hope this has been fun for you to listen to and that you will be inspired to find ways to share and to unify wherever you are. Bring people together. Open their hearts. With your sweetness, with your purity, with your loving counsel, with your own example, and the sincerity of your spirit, and you will be serving, indeed, in bringing about this planetary upliftment and transformation. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting, Anai Hu. Anai Hu. God bless you. I love you. The peace of God be with you. Namaste.